The House passes a series of bills now to change the work life of some federal employees. The Senior Executive Service Accountability Act changes the due process for career SESers accused of misconduct. Three bills aimed at the Internal Revenue Service would target how employees work and communicate with each other. Bob Tobias is a professor in the key executive leadership programs at American University. He is tracking all of these bills and how they might affect life at your agency on a daily basis. Bob, none of these bills from the viewpoint of the federal employees seem to enhance their work-life experience. And I guess the only good news in all of them is with a Democratic Senate, the chances of any of them becoming law anytime soon aren't very high. Am I on the right track, do you think?
You are on the right track. And so if you're on the right track, the question would be, why did the House enact the legislation? And it's kind of interesting to think about many of those House members who voted for this bill often are quoted as saying, we ought to run the government like a business. And so my question to those who voted in favor of this bill is, if you saw the executive branch as your business, if you saw yourself as the board of directors for your business, would you have enacted this legislation? And I think the answer, the honest answer, would be no, for two reasons. First, the changes in the workforce is very minor, but the hype around the change is very large. So I conclude that this is not really about fixing anything. Rather, it's about one more time bashing federal employees.
As I said, the likelihood of any of these passing is just about nil, and my suspicion about why these bills went through this week is because we're roughly 45 days from an election when all of these folks are about to get out of town. My friend and colleague David Hawkins from Roll Call said the other day that he believes the members are starting to smell the jet fumes and want to get out of town and go back and campaign, and that's my sense of where these are coming from.
I agree. I totally agree. Because they're not about fixing anything or solving any problem or making it a better place to work or motivating people to do a better job.
Well, my colleague Emily Kopp notes that one of the bills forbids Internal Revenue Service employees to use personal email for official business. And she writes, yes, that's already prohibited, but this is designed to send a clear message to employees. They've passed a law that's already on the books.
Case closed, right?
Yeah. Yeah, this interview is going to be a lot shorter than I thought it was going to be. But no, but seriously, this is another series, as you mentioned, of bills that maybe the intended result is not to make federal employees feel pressed on, but certainly that's going to be a residual effect, I imagine. I mean, just the idea that one chamber thinks this way about the workforce in general is bound to have an impact, I would think.
I think so, too. I mean, the other bill that affects the SES says that members of the SES may be suspended for 14 days or less, that there's a two-year instead of a one-year probation, that there's only 15 days to reply to a notice of discharge rather than 30 days. Now, they do send a message. They do send a message that you're not valued, but they don't send a message that you ought to change your behavior, which is really, if they were serious, then that's what the message would be. This is a political message, not a message about improving the workplace or the workforce.
The SES probation provision is interesting to me, Bob. I don't expect a data point in response to this question, but just a rough guess. How long is a typical employee of actually working in the government before he or she is eligible to be promoted to the SES, before they actually get the call?
Oh, most people are 15 or 20 years at minimum, but it makes sense to have a probationary period.
And I'm not suggesting that it doesn't, but the reason I ask is because my thought is after somebody has been on the job in government, not necessarily at that agency, I understand, but after they've been around for 15 or 20 years, I guess I would think you'd have an idea, a supervisor would have an idea within a year or so whether they're up to the job.
Exactly. So you have a year probation to make sure that this person can really perform the additional and quite different duties of a member of the SES as opposed to somebody at the GS-15 level. But it doesn't take you 2 years to do that.
Bob Tobias is a professor in the key executive leadership programs at American University, and looking at this batch of legislation the House of Representatives has passed in the last day or so, to all of which impact the federal government and its employees. And as I said, not much of a chance that these will go anywhere, except for one that is a cost of living increase for vets and their dependents. The Senate's already passed it, so that one will go to President Obama, and you can read about them at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth. My colleague Emily Kopp writing about them. And when I went up to talk about all of this stuff on WTOP this afternoon, Bob, I did point out that the one thing that hasn't gone through the House yet, it should by the end of the day today, but they did all this stuff first, was the continuing resolution.
Correct. So federal employees, it looks like, will not be facing a shutdown. And because the deal that was struck last year addressed the sequestration problem, they're not going to face sequestration. So that is indeed a relief.
It's more, though, I would think, like a silver lining in maybe not a dark cloud, but a one that's a little bit gray, because it does stretch us out to December 11th. It does give Congress time to come back after Veterans Day. Senator Reid says they'll get back to work that week for the lame duck session. So the potential does exist that we could see something for the rest of the year, and that we're not pressing up on this, you know, December 9th, December 10th business like we've seen the last couple of years. Would that, in your mind, be another maybe bigger silver lining than what we've seen?
Well, I said that they're not facing it now because of the passage of the extension to
yes.
December the 11th. But, you know, Francis, I have no idea what it will look like once the election is completed. I have no idea who's going to control the Senate. And based on who controls the Senate, that lame duck session could either be productive or totally unproductive as Congress waits for the Republicans to take control of the Senate. If that were to occur, all bets are off.
No one has ever gone broke shorting the unpredictability of Congress.
Right.
It's an investing principle that I'm going to start to live by, I think.
There you go.
It's great to talk to you, as always, my friend. Oh, and by the way, thank you very much for the invitation to the graduation ceremony for the Key Executive Leadership Program. Your latest cohort is set to jet out of there next Friday, and I thank you for including me in that and thinking of me.
You are very welcome. We look forward to having you, Francis.
What can I expect to see there? What does this this program consist of, and how do you recognize the people who've completed your program?
Well, these students have been in a 8-course, 32-day program over a period of 9 months. So they graduate and they celebrate that period of time, and they also make presentations on the question, what have I learned and how have I applied it? Because this is an applied program, and so they're constantly being challenged to apply what they learn in the workplace. We judge success in terms of whether students actually change their behavior, and so we want to see what they've learned and how they've applied it. And it's usually a very, very touching and quite informative presentations.